Okay, church, go ahead and turn your Bibles. That is Mark 4. Hey, do me a favor and go ahead and put a tassel. I'm only going to have you in one other space. And go ahead and put a tassel in Psalm 77. And by the time we get there, you will be ready to go. And then go ahead and turn your Bibles to Mark 4. So tassel in Psalm 77 and your Bibles open, ready for the message in Mark 4. And so if you're a note taker or you're like me in Sunday school, my brother David here just did an amazing job. It blessed me to hear his message as he subbed in for Drake, who was giving his testimony. And we, at the end of it, we talked about how we learn and the vocabulary in which we learn, how things make sense to us. And my brother's a note taker, and we were talking about like sermons and teaching and how that works. And so if you're anything like me and you learn by, I need to understand like the higher point, Hunter, like the umbrella in which all the things that you're going to talk about, that's how my mind works. And so if you're anything like me, what we're going to be speaking about today goes along with what we've been speaking about for the last 2 weeks in the storms of life. And this week, we're going to be talking about on what is the other side of the storm. And so the waves of life, what are on the other side of it? The rain, what is the other side of it? The wind, what is the other side of it? So this is the third week we've been in Mark 4. And please listen to me. I did not plan it, but I've enjoyed it. And not only have I enjoyed it, you've been able to relate to it as I've had so much coffee and time with some of you guys this week just talking about how storms in your life have been hard and challenging and difficult, but have grown you and sanctified you. And so God keeps having us in this story of the disciples and Jesus in the boat. They weren't where they used to be, but they also weren't where they were going. They were somewhere in the middle. And this morning, we're going to be talking about what does the land look like past the storm. So let's read again in Mark 4, looking at verse 35. This is our third week reading this amazing, relatable story. In God's Word, it says in verse 35, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" If you have not highlighted it already, will you now? You've got 3 weeks of opportunities. "Let us cross over to the other side," Jesus says. "Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was at the stern, asleep on the pillow, and they awoke him and said to him," it should be highlighted already, you know the story, "'Teacher, do you not care? Teacher, do you not see the waves? Do you not feel the wind? Are you not feeling the rain? Do you not care?'" What, church? "'That we are not perishing.' Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And guess what happened, church? The wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful?'" That was last week. "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and they said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And so as our last song, our praise team did so wonderful with, "He is greater," amen. And so this is our third week in this story of Mark 4 about the disciples and Jesus being in the midst of this storm. And so if you did not listen or you have a short-term memory, if you have slept since we last taught through it, our first week in our storms study in Mark 4, we just taught through the reality that storms are guaranteed. That all of you, if you are living and breathing, if you are lost today and don't know Jesus, or you have been saved for many years and glory waits on you, rain is guaranteed. And rain is going to find you. The waves will find you. The wind will find you for a multitude of reasons. For some, you've invited the rain. It's called consequences of life. For some of you, you're experiencing rain because you have chosen to do foolish things. So you're in the midst of a storm that you invited to your life. We've repeated that 3 weeks. For some of you guys, it's just the reality that God is using the rain and the storm to grow you, to build you, to sanctify you. As James would say, count it all joy because he is making you more like his son. And then the reality is a lot of you will experience rain simply because we live in a broken down, sinful world. However, storms are guaranteed. But one thing else that we taught on that first Sunday morning in Mark 4, not only are storms guaranteed, they're also very revealing. Storms reveal much about who you are and also who you believe is in control. So if you want to know who a person is, put their back against the wall. It's easy to be excited when it's sunshining, right? It's easy to be peaceful when there's more than enough money in the account. It's easy to be excited and happy and joyful when you're on vacation and you're walking on the beach. But if you want to know where a man's faith lies, let it rain. And so what do we see about the disciples? Man, they were willing to hop on that boat, but when the rain fell from the sky, what did they do? They woke up Jesus and they said, what? Do you not care? And we talked about it week one. What were they actually asking? What were they actually fearful of? They didn't say, hey, Jesus, do you not see the rain? Do you not feel the waves? Are you not scared by the wind? That's not what they were saying. They looked at Jesus and they said, Jesus, do you not care? Are you not good? Are you not going to provide? So week one, we talked about not just understand, as Peter would say, that this is not something strange that is happening to you. Don't be surprised, my brothers and sisters, of storms that come your way. But we also talked that storms reveal much about you. Last week, week two, we had a study that we called Fear Not. And so what I love what Jesus says here, because Jesus is also asking something in which is not actually on the paper, right? The disciples look at Jesus and they say, Jesus, like, do you not care? And what they're actually asking is, do you not care about us? Are you not going to provide for us? It wasn't about the wind and the waves. It was about them. And what Jesus says is, men, how do you still fear? And what he is asking is, why are you so scared when I'm in the boat with you? And so Jesus last week in our Fear Not Sunday, it says, why are you scared when I am with you? And then today we're going to be talking about what is on the other side of fear. What is on the other side of the storm? What is on the other side of the wind and the waves and the rain? Which brings us to the other side in chapter 5. And so what we see this morning, we're going to see but three different stories, what we see, what waits on the men in Christ as they get out of the water. So look at verses 1 through 5. Look at chapter 5 in Mark. And let's see what waits for the men on dry land. In verse 1 in chapter 5, God's word says this. And then they came to the other side. How like that? Then they came to the other side of the sea, and church, what waited on them? To the country of the Gardeans. And when he had come out of the boat, man, highlight this one, is a very heavy word. It's a reality for you and I. We're going to spend time on it immediately. That is not a word that just fits in there by accident. It's on purpose. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often beat and bound the shackles with the chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him, and always, night and day, he was in the mountainside and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. You might know this story. It's a small story, but it's a famous one. There's a lot of brilliance in it. The story goes that Jesus and the disciples come on the other side out of the water, and there greeted them a demon-possessed man. And the story goes, and it's two brilliant truths of faith that should give us assurance in the greatness of Christ. There's two things that are pointed out in the text in chapter 5. The demon comes to Jesus, and he doesn't say, when Jesus gets out of that boat, I'm going to bum rush him and I'm going to win this for the bad guys. No, the demon comes to Jesus scared to death, and he says, Jesus, are you here to torment us? It's not a war. It's not a battle. This is not a tug of war, the souls of men. The demons were scared to death of Christ. Why? Because Christ is greater, and they knew it. It goes back to what we see in James, that James says that even the demons believe in what? Shudder. So what we see here in this assurance, which is not the sermon, but might be a sermon one day, that the enemy sees Christ and he runs. He is scared. But what also does the demon say? In the Gospels, he says, are you here to torment us, what? Before the end. And so even the demons know how this story goes and how it will end. So they see Christ and they say, oh no, he has come to get his victory, right? But what does Christ do? Christ gets the demons out of the man, out of the men, throws them into the pigs. And what happens to the pigs? They run off the cliff unto their death, leaving the possessed man free from the evil spirits. And now look at verse 18. And when Jesus, when he got back into the boat, he who had been demon possessed, the same man, begged him that he might go with him. However, Jesus did not permit it, but he said to him, man, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. And the man departed and began to proclaim to all the people all that Jesus had done for him, and all the people marveled. So in this story, church, please do not miss it. What waited on the men on the other side of the storm? Immediately more bad weather. And so these men were in the midst of the rain. They were in the midst of the storm. They were in the midst of the waves and all of those things. They get to dry land, and what waited on them? More rain. Like, I read that and I've passed it so many times, but it says immediately more bad weather, one storm on top of another. When it rains, it pours. Have you ever been there? So what we talked about months ago as we returned back from New York and all the issues and the issues that I had coming home, it was fish for breakfast, fish for lunch, fish for snack, and fish for dinner. And you see this moment as the men get off the boat. You know there was that moment where they had their binoculars out and they saw dry land and their hearts skipped a beat. They said, we're about to get off this blasted boat. And what waited on them? A demon-possessed man ready to go to war. And so what's on the other side of the wind? More wind. But don't miss this. There's something different about this time. The scriptures don't point out the men's fear, does it? The scripture does not point out or bring attention to their doubt on what Jesus could and could not do. And why is that? Why do the scriptures not point towards the men and their fear and their doubt and their lack of trust and them running for the hills? Why does the story not say that Jesus said, hey, men, calm down, I got this? Why does the story not say that? Well, it's obvious. They had just been with the one who can calm the wind. They saw the way stop. Don't look past this moment and how scary that it might be. Luke describes this man as also not just homeless and demon-possessed, but naked. So they get off this boat, and there is a naked man from a horror scene with chains and shackles on his wrist that he had pulled apart. His body is covered in blood as he's been cutting himself. He's possessed and angry, and he is walking towards the boat. Why are the men not scared? It's because these men have faced storms. They just saw Jesus tell the wind to chill out, and the wind chilled out. Jesus told the waters to calm, and the waters calmed. One could read this story, church, and go, man, poor men. Like, when it rains, it pours. Like, they get out of the boat, and it's another war. But I believe that the disciples did not see it that way, because they had been with the one who can calm storms. And so what is actually on the other side of the storm? And it is a greater faith and trust in the one who calms them. So guys, here's the reality. As you and I get older, we get stronger and more faithful and more trusting and more dependent, because you and I have faced storms and we've experienced the one who can calm them. And so these men see this wild animal from a horror movie, and that says that they are not scared. Why? Because they have Christ. There's a greater faith and a greater trust and a greater dependence on the other side of the wind. Have you experienced that? It's not that you're just simply stronger, but you're more experienced. You've seen what Jesus can do in your life. And it has made you calmer for the wind and the waves that come to you next time and the time after. I love the story in which we talked about last Sunday, and we taught on last Wednesday about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it is this moment where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have this Moses-type moment where they're between the waters and Pharaoh. They're between the fire and King Nebuchadnezzar. And what do the men say? We talked about it last week. They said, listen, you can throw me into the fire if you want to. My God is able, my God will, but if he chooses not to, I will still trust. And we read that story and our mind goes, man, like, how could you have such a faith? How could anybody look at the flames and say, do your best? Well, this is something that does not get a lot of press. In Daniel 1, when these young men were kidnapped, names changed, lives wrecked, the people of King Nebuchadnezzar came to these men and they said, listen, we're going to change your names. We want to change your language. We want you to act and talk and dress like we do. We want you to eat our food and drink our drinks. And what did the men say? We will not defile our body in such way. And the people of King Nebuchadnezzar, the ones that were walking with the men, told these individuals, if you do such a thing, we're going to be able to see it in you. You're not going to be strong. You're not going to be healthy if you just keep eating all that mess you're eating, and the king is going to kill you. But what did God do? God kept them faithful and strong, and they actually became stronger in their faith to saying no to the things of the king. And so when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before the fire and they said, do your best, understand that they've experienced fire before. They have said no before. And so for you and I and the disciples and these men that are looking at the flames, they had seen God tell too many demons to go. And so right now, guys, here's the truth. In your life, God is placing storms in your life to greater prepare you to face them in future storms. Maybe he has put storms in your life because he wants you to guide others in through other storms of their life. As I get older, I'm not just simply like more of a man. I'm just a man who's experienced more. I've been through hard times. I've experienced God take me through those storms. Guys, I have felt the waves crash. And here's the one thing that I pray. I pray when the storm comes again, because it will, I pray that I remember how God provided in those storms of the past. I pray that I remember. I told you to put a tassel in Psalm 77. I want you to look at it. Because one thing that is very clear, that not only are storms guaranteed, but they're guaranteed to continue. It doesn't just rain once, church. It rains multiple times in the lives of believers. And so on the other side of the waves and the other side of the wind, on the other side of the storm, is a greater faith for the storms to come if we're able to remember God's provisions. I want you to look at verse 10. It's a beautiful word. It says, said, this is my anguish, but I will remember, highlight that, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old, and I will meditate on all your works, and I will talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is the sanctuary. Who is so great of God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Stay with me, church. The waters saw you, O God, and the waters saw you, and they were afraid. Man, highlight that, please. The waters saw you, O God, and the waters saw you, and they were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water, and the sky sent a sound, and your arrows also flashed about. The voice of your thunder was the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea. Your path was in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Guys, until God chooses to take you home, right now as you stand and sit, you are unbeatable. Your clothes still might be wet from the storm that you've experienced, but in that, you are still here. So the next time that it rains on you, because it is guaranteed that it will rain again, God's word says, remember that I have carried you through storms, and I will guarantee that I will carry you through the next. Be faithful. And so we ask the question, this is the first point, if you're a note taker, what is the other side of the storm? What is on the other side of the wind? What is on the other side of the rain? What is on the other side of the waves? And it is simple. Even if it is immediately more wind, it is a greater faith. It is a greater faith. It is a greater trust. It is a greater dependence. And to our second point, look at Mark 5. Look at Mark 5, verse 21. So the men are away from the demon-possessed man. In verse 21, look what it says. And now when Jesus had crossed over again to the other side by boat, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he had saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she will live again. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him closely. So you might know the story. It is raining again, but it's just not raining on the disciples, right? And so it's a hard reminder, and we've said it a few times in the last few weeks. If right now you are not struggling, if right now you are not suffering, the truth is someone very close to you right here, even in this room, probably is. And so for right now, it might not be raining on you. You might feel nothing but sunshine. You are in a great place, but someone close to you are. They are in the boat right now as you are on dry land, and they are suffering. And so the men had just experienced the waves. They've experienced the demon-possessed man, and they are feeling pretty good right now, but they experience a father and a husband, a leader in the community, come to Jesus and said, Jesus, I've tried everything, but my daughter is dying. And so Jesus agrees to go to the family's home. And you might know the story. On the way, they encounter a sick woman. It's one of these rain on top of rain moments. And in that, in the midst of the crowd, you might know how it goes. The woman who's literally bleeding out goes to Jesus, and she believes that if she just can touch the clothes of Christ, then she will be healed. And guess what happens? She is. And so the people keep walking after this woman is healed, and they are filled with thanksgiving. They have seen the storm stop. They've seen the demon possessed be put to life. They have seen this woman be healed, and they are walking to the family's home. And let's see what happens here. Look at verse 39. When they came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. And when they had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother and the child and those who were with them and entered where the child was lying. And then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately, once again, immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. Do you know one thing that is on the other side of the storm should always be a greater sense of thanksgiving? Because in a moment where you've experienced the waves and the wind and the rain, when God tells it to stop, what happens to your heart? It is filled with thanksgiving. The truth is, guys, storms come and storms go. Hard times make a grateful spirit. And for those, we give thanks to the one who gives it. And on the other side of struggle is gratefulness. You and I as believers, we are called to live a life filled with thanksgiving, filled with joy, filled with worship, filled with praise. But listen to me, church, unless you've arrived to a spiritual place that I've never experienced, thanksgiving for me has always come through provisions. And provisions has always come from being in a place of need. And a place of need have always come from a place of struggle. So Hunter Jones, your pastor, needs struggle for a greater sense of thanksgiving. Because, man, when it rains on me, man, I need God to provide. And when God provides, because He loves me and cherishes me as one of His, I give thanks. If I had no storm and I had no struggle and I had no hard times in my life, I would not be thankful. I would not be grateful. Man needs provisions which comes through need. Guys, in my life, the storms have given me a humility that I didn't have. I've shared this story many, many times before, but I struggled with pride. I struggled with selfishness. And I had a desire to lead God's church. And I desired to be a good husband. I had a desire to lead my children. I had good desires, but I had wickedness inside of me. And so God showed me, Hunter, I'm going to have to break you to prepare you. And so you are not grateful. You are not thankful. You are confidently arrogant, my friend. And if you're going to do anything for the kingdom, I have to make this about me. So God took me through a journey where He chopped me down to build me up. That is the story of sanctification. These men were grateful. This woman bleeding out was thankful. This father and mother was thankful, because a sense of thanksgiving and gratefulness is on the other side of wind and rain and waves. If your seas were always calm, like I said, maybe you are just in a different spot than I am, the sense of thanksgiving would not be with you. My brother, Garrett, Marcus and Jenny's son, was saved this week. Amen? And I sat with him as he's a young man. And I sat with him, and I always sit with kids, and because children and salvation is hard to navigate through some, because they're still children. And I always ask this one question. I ask it to adults too. I said, "Garrett, like, where's your mind at, brother?" That's a hard question. It's open-ended. It's confusing. But what I'm asking is like, what's going through your head? What's going in your heart? Like, talk to me. And Garrett, young child, says, "Pastor Hunter, I know that I'm in trouble." And I said, "Brother, that is a great place to be. To know that you are in trouble, to experience the waves and the wind and the sea and the storms, that's what gives life. To know that you are in need, to know that you are destined for hell, to know that the storms are around you, and to see God calm them, what does it do to man's spirit? It makes him grateful. Half of us are not grateful because you don't realize the one who calms the storm. You don't realize the one who caused the waves to cease or the rain to stop. But if you have been through hard times and God has kept you standing, it does something to your heart that the sunshine can't do. Think about actual storms. Think about the actual physical rain that falls from the sky. My wife and I talk about this all the time because we love to plant things and to grow things. I love to see things come to life. I go out every night. I'm in charge of watering the plants and the vegetables and the garden and the flowers. And I love to see things grow. But you know one thing that I've noticed? Water that comes out of a hose can never duplicate the water that comes from the sky. You ever notice that? Like when it rains from the sky, it could be dark and nasty and black and thunderstorms and lightning. It could be flooding the earth. But on the next day, man, you just see things come to life, right? You need rain. Nothing grows without the rain, and man can't duplicate that by spreading it out with water from a hose. Not only do we need the rain, guys, it provides new life. It provides new life. And so God actually blessed that woman who was bleeding out. He blessed the man whose child was sick and dying. He blessed the disciples with the storm in the boat. And so right now, I truly believe that if you are going through something or if you have gone through something in the past, God is actually trying to stir in you the affection of gratefulness, which is a great thing that so many of us are missing. We are a sinful, broken, selfish people. And to have a simple, humble soul of thanksgiving, it is going to take rain. So don't hate it. Second point. What is on the other side of the storm? A greater thanksgiving. Then our last point, look at Mark 6, verse 7. I hope you're in small group. These three points are great conversation for small group. That's my shameless plug for you guys to plug in. Mark 6. Verse 7. And he called the 12 to himself. And he began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. It's a big undertaking, isn't it? He says, you know that evil spirit that you were just face to face with? I'm giving you power to go against it. Don't take anything with you. He's calling them into struggle. And he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there until you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than that city. So what happened, church? So they went out and they preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons. And they anointed with oil many who were sick. And they healed them. So one thing, the last thing that we see on the other side, the other side of the storm, is a confidence in preparation. In chapter 4, I want you to see this. Just flip one page. I told you to highlight it. This all started. Look at verse 35 in chapter 4. Jesus said in red, let us cross over to the other side. Let us cross over to the other side. Jesus knew way beforehand that he was going to send them out one day. And these men needed not only to experience the storm, they needed to see Jesus calm it. And so it said that a great whirlwind arose. You see, guys, the church, the men needed the rain. They needed the wind. They needed the waves because on the other side, the enemy waited for them. on the other side of the wind and the waves and the rain, the demon-possessed waited for them. And so the men needed a greater faith and trust. That's God's goodness. That's God's grace. Have you ever thought about that before? Have you ever thought about the wind that rains down on you and the waves that crash into your boat? That is actually God's goodness and grace in your life, because He knows what waits on you in the future? Such a wisdom. Are you just literally wrapped up in the whirlwind of God, why? God, why? God, why? God, why? And God is saying, I know what waits for you on the other side. You need to be stronger, more faithful, more trusting, and I'm willing to bring rain to you to get you there. That is God's grace. That is God's grace. It's good for you because on the other side, healing and joy waited on those men. These men needed a greater sense of thanksgiving and also an empathy and sympathy to want that for other people. Think about that for a second. Here's a side point. Man, if you've never experienced storms, you're usually very not sympathetic or empathetic towards those who are. You ever notice that? Like, God has sent me through mess so I could better love you. And listen, no church people understand that. It's a hard concept. I didn't get it when I signed up for this. But God has sent me through trenches so I can better love these people. That's what He was doing with the disciples. When this father came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, it is raining on me. My child is dying. What do you think those men were thinking? Because I think they were thinking, brother, I've been there. It's rained on me too. When the woman was bleeding out, you think the disciples said, lady, get going. No, I think their heart said, lady, I've been there. And so God is going to use you to have a heart of sympathy and empathy and love. And sometimes that comes through struggles for yourself. Guys, some of the greatest ministry in my life and my wife's life have come through the struggles that we've experienced. So God will send you through miscarriages and death and heartache and job loss so you can better disciple people in the future. They needed that because that's what waited for them on the other side. And then the men needed the ways because on the other side, Jesus was going to call them to calm them for others. So don't miss the big picture. In chapter 6, there's a moment where it says, sending out the 12. Let's be real here for a minute. Because I hope that Sunday morning is not just entertainment for you. I hope that you're trying to be more faithful and you're trying to be obedient in Christ and be used for the kingdom. That's what I hope. Do any of you really believe that that is going to come through 24/7 sunshine? Say that hard. All right? And the men needed it because Jesus knew that He was about to send them out. What does it say? He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper, and the money belt, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. Listen to me. You think they're ready for that? You think they're ready for that without wind? You think they're ready for that without rain? You think they're ready for that without waves? No. And God does the same thing to you. God is going to call us out, give us the opportunity, the privilege to calm storms for others. But to be able to do that, He has to calm storms for us. So don't hate the rain. Don't hate the wind. It brings new life. So as we close here, and unless God changes my heart, this is our last week in Mark 4. But as we looked at the storms in life, I've always said, I get it. Do not high-five the doctor with bad news. I understand that it is hard. But also, don't wake Jesus up and say, Jesus, why do you not care? The reality is, He cares more than you realize. If you are broken, then that is hopefully going to lead to life. If you are scared, hopefully that brings you to greater faith. If you are cold, that's hopefully going to bring you to warmth. That is how God works. If you're a note taker, as we close, do not hate the rain. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for today. Lord, in the storms of my life, 99% of it, I was not wise or humble or insightful enough to thank you for them. Even today, when I know that you're doing something in them, it is hard to do. God, I'm just not there. I can preach this message, but there are moments where I know that you're doing something in them, but I wish there was another way. So, Lord, if anybody in here in this room can relate to that, just give us a peace of mind and a peace of spirit that you are doing something great in the midst of the waves that hit against our boat. That we are in need of a greater faith, and that comes through wind. And we are in need of a greater thanksgiving that comes through rain. And we are in need of a greater preparation to the calling to do for others. And that comes through the storms that you cause in our life. Lord, let us be faithful. Let us be faithful when the sun is out, and let us be faithful when it is raining, because we know that you are sovereign, that you are good, and that you are great, and that all things in this life will be for your glory, and it will be for our good. Let us be faithful to that truth. Lord, lastly, if any of my people here are weak and tired, and they are soaking wet, they are soaking wet from the rain that continues to beat on them. Let them know that your love and your grace and your mercy is greater than any rain. Let them lean on you. Let them cast their burdens on you. Let them put their trust on you. And when the rain stops, let us have a greater heart of thanksgiving. In your precious and holy name, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the church says in harmony, amen.
Will you stand with me?
Surrendering all, and fly.
I want to read this to you as we close. I'll sit there listening. If I can remember where it was. Here in Romans 8, it says in verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And so one thing as you end here, I think the greatest point in these 3 weeks was mentioned last week when we see the words that it says, if God sent His Son, why would He not provide for His children, you know, after He sent His Son? And so God loves you. If it is raining on you right now, the rain will stop. Choose faith. So as we pray here, no matter what circumstances you're going through, instead of even praying that the rain would stop, just change your prayers to, Lord, help me be faithful in it. I hope the rain does stop for you. I really, really do. But more than that, just, Lord, help me be faithful in it. Help me not lose my composure. Help me not lose my perseverance. Keep me encouraged and my eyes focused on you, because I know that you're doing something in it. I might not know what it is, but I know you are doing something in it. So let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for today. Lord, help us persevere. This is not our home. This is not glory. This is not heaven. Perfection waits for us. And in the midst of living in a sinful, broken world, it is going to rain most days. And some of those rains will be storms. And some of those waves will capsize. We will struggle and we will tread water that is part of the human condition. But you are greater than any storm. You are greater than any rain. You are greater than any wind. You are greater than any sea. You tell the storm to come. And so, Lord, I pray that we keep our eyes on what's on the other side. On the other side is a greater faith. So let us keep our eyes on it. On the other side is a greater thanksgiving. Let us be excited about it. On the other side is confidence in the opportunity to disciple others. Lord, we are in need of the rain, so thank you for it. Lord, provide, protect, establish, give stamina and endurance to walk this walk, to fight this fight. Lord, thank you for your cross. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for His blood. Thank you for His church. Thank you for your word. Thank you for His people. In your precious and in your holy name, in the name of Christ Jesus, the church says, amen. We love you guys.